Tonight, tracking that deadly winter storm moving up the East Coast. Snow, ice, freezing rain, and severe storms from Georgia to Maine. Whiteout conditions, more than 2 feet of snow in some areas. Hundreds of car accidents on the highways. Tornadoes touching down in Florida, including a confirmed EF2. Strong winds now gusting up to 40 miles per hour, and a new cold blast on the way. Wind chills down to 40 below zero. Ginger Z tracking it all. America's major airlines sounding the alarm over stronger 5G service set to begin on Wednesday. Airlines and cargo carriers warning the new wireless system could cause catastrophic disruption to passenger flights and the supply chain. The Omicron surge crippling hospitals across the country. The U.S. now reporting more than 1,800 deaths every 24 hours. Hospitals admitting nearly 21,000 new patients every day. But signs of progress. States first hit with the Omicron surge now say they're turning the corner. Dr. Anthony Fauci asked if Omicron will mark the final wave of the pandemic, how he's responding tonight, and what a new study is now saying about the effectiveness of a possible fourth shot. New details about the tense 11-hour hostage standoff at a synagogue in Texas. The rabbi describing the moment he threw a chair at the gunman to help the hostages make a run for the door. What authorities are now saying about the suspect, a British national. And tonight, Homeland Security and the FBI with a new warning to faith-based communities about the potential threats of more violence. On this day, celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his family issuing a call to action for voting rights, with the Senate set to debate the issue tomorrow. Dr. King's 13-year-old granddaughter calling out two Democratic senators by name, Rachel Scott standing by. Overseas tonight, growing concern over Russia's possible invasion of Ukraine. Ian Panel with American senators in Ukraine's capital today, delivering a tough message to Vladimir Putin. And celebrating Betty White on what would have been her 100th birthday. Fans taking up one of her biggest causes, her love of animals.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening on this Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's great to have you with us. I'm Whit Johnson in for David tonight. And we begin with that massive winter storm, days of snow, rain, ice, even tornadoes battering half the country, turning deadly. Snow and wind alerts from North Carolina to Maine at this hour. And as temperatures plummet overnight, the growing danger on the roads all the way to the south. More than 2 feet of snow in Ashtabula, Ohio, drivers stranded in whiteout conditions. Strong waves and icy wind in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. In Raleigh, North Carolina, drivers sliding on the ice, struggling to regain control. Other cars scrambling out of the way. A weekend of treacherous driving there in North Carolina. Two people losing their lives in a wreck. A tractor trailer dangling off an overpass after sliding off the road in Durham. The storm also spawning tornadoes in Florida. An EF2 in Fort Myers. A couple there driving right into those dangerous winds. Tonight, heavy snow still falling in parts of New York and New England, and now the bitter cold across the east. ABC's Trevor Ault leads us off in Buffalo tonight.
Tonight, all kinds of dangerous winter weather wreaking havoc for millions of Americans. East of Cleveland, Ashtabula, Ohio, in the bullseye for whiteout conditions.
Over a foot of snow has already fallen, and it's still coming down.
And they got more than 2 feet. First responders there struggling just to reach stranded cars and trucks. And Buffalo shattering their daily record by 6 o'clock this morning.
Neighbors are trying to free this bus right now. It got stuck trying to back up on this side street because if you look up just a block ahead, there's another bus that was already stuck.
In Niagara Falls, Steve and Michael shoveled 6 hours to get to work.
More than what we expected.
Yeah,
definitely. Haven't seen this winter in a long time.
Where there wasn't snow, there was ice. Watch as driver after driver loses control on this icy road near Raleigh's airport. In Durham, this tractor trailer sliding off a frozen overpass. The driver taken to the hospital. And at least two people were killed when their car skidded off I-95 in Nash County. The same system spawned tornadoes on Florida's west coast, including this EF2 in Fort Myers. Winds up to 118 miles an hour destroying this trailer park.
And after snowfall rates of 4 inches per hour here today, now lake effect snow is a big possibility through the morning. But even without it, with temperatures falling below freezing, even into the south, tonight black ice is a big threat. Whit.
Quite the picture behind you, and it's just getting started in some places. Trevor, thank you. Let's get right to ABC's chief meteorologist, Ginger Z. And Ginger, where's the most significant snowfall hitting right now?
Oh, my goodness. We've seen some flakes here, but it's all west of us. But you know what else is remarkable about this storm? We started in New York City the day in the single digits, then had a severe thunderstorm warning within 24 hours. Really, that is a rare event at any point for January in Manhattan. But look at this storm. Now it is moving through western New York, so Binghamton up through Syracuse, 2 to 4 inches still possible through New England tonight. Then it will be moving east. I think the next noticeable part will be the wind, and you've got wind advisories from Pennsylvania right down through Appalachia, 20 to even 50 mile per hour gusts. One more shot of Arctic air, of course, is coming at us as if that's the end of winter. But at least this week, that starts with 28 below the feels like in Des Moines, 11 below Witt in Kansas City.
All right, we know you'll be tracking it for GMA as well. Ginger, thank you. Next, the CEOs of major U.S. airlines sounding the alarm about the implementation of 5G wireless technology set for Wednesday, warning that signal conflicts could lead to significant travel and cargo disruptions at dozens of American airports. Here's ABC's transportation correspondent, Gio Benitez.
Tonight, a stark warning from airline and air cargo CEOs urging U.S. officials to clamp down on the launch of stronger 5G frequencies set for Wednesday, hoping AT&T and Verizon will keep those signals at least 2 miles away from America's airports. The CEOs sounding the alarm, saying in a letter, immediate intervention is needed to avoid significant operational disruption.
This is unsafe. Let us be clear. This is unsafe.
Planes have a device called the radio altimeter, measuring the distance between the plane and the ground. Pilots use it to land the plane. The FAA says pilots will not be able to use that radio altimeter to land at 88 airports closest to those 5G towers. So in bad weather, when pilots can't see the ground, they'd have to land somewhere else. The airlines say this will trigger a slew of cancellations and delays. While other countries have successfully launched similar 5G signals, the FAA says there are key differences. In France, the signals are permanently blocked near airports, protecting the final minute and a half of flights as they land. In the U.S., the signals will only be blocked for the next 6 months and for just the final 20 seconds of landing. So, Whit, U.S. officials now have less than 48 hours to make a decision on this. Otherwise, the airlines say we will be seeing those cancellations. Whit.
All right, Gio, thank you. Next, the FBI and DHS now warning faith-based communities about the potential threats of more violence after that hostage standoff at a synagogue in Texas. Tonight, the rabbi describing the moment he and other hostages got away, saying he threw a chair at the gunman so they could make a run for the door. A cameraman catching them, getting out. Authorities releasing this image of the attacker, Malik Akram, saying he was not on any U.S. government watch list. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in Texas.
Tonight, new details emerging about that terrifying hostage standoff inside a North Texas synagogue. A British national allegedly armed with a gun, holding four people hostage for more than 11 hours. Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker describing on CBS Mornings the moment he and two congregants escaped, with the suspect Malik Fazal Ahram growing increasingly agitated.
The exit wasn't too far away. I told them to go. I threw a chair at the gunman, and I headed for the door.
In this video from our affiliate WFAA, two hostages and the rabbi are seen leaving from a side door, followed by a man holding a gun. Less than a minute after the man moves back inside the building, gunfire erupts. And the FBI hostage rescue team quickly rushes in. Tonight, investigators say that Ahram, who was not on any U.S. government watch list, arrived in New York from London more than 2 weeks ago before traveling to Texas. The incident in Colleyville unfolding Saturday morning when Citron Walker says he answered a knock on a synagogue window. The rabbi saying he and Ahram spoke over tea. At 10:45 a.m., Ahram interrupting Shabbat service streaming on Facebook Live.
He said he had a gun. It's a nightmare.
For hours, FBI crisis negotiators speaking to the suspect who allegedly threatened to kill the four hostages if convicted Al-Qaeda supporter Afia Siddiqui was not released from prison. After nearly 7 hours, one hostage was released. Just after 9 p.m., the other three making that daring escape.
The suspect was fatally shot and a gun was recovered. And with tonight, a new warning from the FBI and DHS to communities of faith. Given this volatile environment right now, they say they will likely be the continued target of terrorism and violence. So their advice, stay vigilant.
It's raising a lot of concern, Maria. Thank you. Next tonight, American hospitals in crisis, squeezed between the Omicron surge and the shortage of staff. An average of 21,000 patients admitted with COVID every day. A growing number of hospitals now delaying elective surgeries. But cases are tapering off where Omicron struck first, down 17% in New York City and New Jersey. Home testing getting easier as well to find. Insurance companies now reimbursing up to 8 at-home tests a month. And the government's website launches Wednesday to distribute 4 tests per household. And what is now being said about a study from Israel about patients who got a 4th vaccine shot? Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Despite COVID cases receding in parts of the Northeast, tonight hospitals from coast to coast are warning they are in the middle of a crisis.
It's just perfect storm for emergency departments being overcrowded, backed up, and not being able to move admitted patients out of the emergency department into hospital beds.
From Massachusetts to Central California, where short-staffed hospitals are pleading with the public on social media to get vaccinated. And patients without COVID are impacted too, as hospitals are postponing thousands of surgeries to care for COVID patients. In Milwaukee, Eddie Baez says his surgery for prostate cancer was delayed 2 weeks because of concerns about hospital beds and staffing.
I mean, cancer is cancer. It spreads daily. It spreads.
There are promising signs. Officials in the Northeast point out that fewer people are going into hospitals. In Washington, D.C., COVID cases are down 25%. In the last week. In New York City and New Jersey, down 17%.
Still not out of the woods, but very, very good signs.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says it is still an open question whether a less severe Omicron variant could lead to the end of the pandemic. But even without another variant, Fauci says COVID will stay with us.
It's not going to be that you're going to eliminate this disease completely. We're not going to do that. But hopefully it will be at such a low level that it doesn't disrupt our normal social, economic, and other interactions with each other.
Starting over the weekend, Americans could start buying up to 8 at-home COVID tests each month and submit receipts for reimbursement from their health insurance plan. And on Wednesday, they'll also be able to log on to covidtests.gov to order up to 4 free at-home COVID tests per household.
We know people have been waiting to get those tests. Stephanie Ramos back with us tonight. And Stephanie, you're also learning more about new research out of Israel where they looked at the effectiveness of a 4th vaccine shot.
Exactly what researchers in Israel say. They looked at how well a 4th dose holds up against Omicron, finding that a 4th shot increased antibody levels, but not always enough to stop those breakthrough infections. In Israel, a 4th shot has already been authorized for those at highest risk. But keep in mind, here in the U.S., a 4th shot has not been authorized for the general public. Whit.
Yeah, still more to learn. Stephanie, thank you. And on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day of service and a call for voting rights, a crowd marched in Denver, Colorado today, one of the largest celebrations in the country. While in Washington, D.C., where the Senate is set to debate voting rights tomorrow, members of Dr. King's family took part in another march, his 13-year-old granddaughter calling out 2 Democratic senators by name. Here's ABC's congressional correspondent, Rachel Scott.
Just one day before a critical vote in the Senate, the family of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. marching in the nation's capital to demand action on voting rights.
Voting rights!
When do we want it?
Now!
But they know the odds are stacked against them. Senate Republicans are opposed, and 2 Democratic senators, Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, refuse to change the Senate rules so Democrats can pass the legislation on their own. Dr. King's 13-year-old granddaughter calling them out by name.
Senator Sinema, Senator Manchin,
Our future hinges on your decision, and history will remember what choice you make.
Manchin released a statement celebrating Dr. King's legacy, but made no mention of voting rights. Martin Luther King III telling me that falls short.
It's kind of frustrating for people to be releasing statements, and you really have not totally adhered to my father's ideals. So my hope and my message to him would be, Senator, you got to go further.
The Senate is expected to debate voting rights legislation for the first time this Congress tomorrow. But bottom line, Democrats do not have the votes they need to get it passed with.
Rachel Scott from the MLK Memorial for us tonight. Thank you. We do move overseas tonight. A critical week ahead between the U.S. and Russia. Tensions mounting over Ukraine. Russian troops have been mobilizing along the border. And now the U.S. says Moscow is also planning covert operations inside Ukraine. A group of U.S. senators now on the ground there, and ABC's senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell speaking with them tonight.
Tonight, U.S. senators delivering a tough message to Vladimir Putin as this crisis intensifies.
We will give the people of Ukraine the arms, lethal arms, they need to defend their lives and livelihoods.
U.S. lawmakers meeting in Kiev today with the Ukrainian president, pledging their full support, promising the American government will take steps to deter Russia from invading.
If Russia crosses that border, if it ramps up the pressure on Ukraine or Europe, what do you want to see about the possibility of invasion?
If Russia moves any further into Ukraine, there is going to be significant, serious, unprecedented crushing sanctions on Russia from the United States.
It's up to President Putin now to decide.
100,000 Russian troops massed near the Ukraine border, the Kremlin demanding a guarantee Ukraine won't join NATO, threatening a military response if it doesn't get one. The Kremlin denying it has plans to invade, but today not ruling out deploying military assets much closer to the US, potentially in Latin America.
With both sides saying it's now up to the other one to make the next move, the threat of an escalation now is as high as ever. And the move from this bipartisan group of senators is determined that they and the administration are going to be ready to respond. Whit.
All right, Ian Pannell, our thanks to you tonight. When we come back, new images coming in following the massive underwater volcanic eruption sending shockwaves around the world and celebrating Betty White on what would have been her 100th birthday.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, growing fears for the island nation of Tonga after that undersea volcano and the tsunami that followed. A satellite capturing Saturday's eruption, a wall of water later slamming ashore, killing one person. A 12-mile-high cloud of ash disrupting flights, an underwater cable damage severing communications. This satellite image before the eruption, you see the shoreline, a lush green, and then this after, everything covered in salt water and ash. To the index, honoring Betty White on what would have been her 100th birthday. Fans today taking part in the Betty White Challenge, donating thousands of dollars to animal charities. as a tribute to her. She was, of course, a dedicated animal rights advocate devoted to caring for and protecting animals. Finally tonight, on this day of celebration for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a nation putting actions to words.
On this Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, in every corner of the country, Americans remembering the life of Dr. King and honoring him with a day of service. From Portland to New York City, volunteers collecting food, donating clothes and toys. In Chicago's South Side at Tanner Elementary School, volunteers repainting walls and designing murals. And in Memphis, at the National Civil Rights Museum, at the Lorraine Motel, where Dr. King's life was taken at just 39 years old, they are collecting food, too, and calling on the community to donate blood. And 54 years after his death, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s words just as powerful in this time. This is the letter he wrote while in a Birmingham jail in 1963.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly.
A year later, Dr. King on the power of peace and nonviolence.
Nonviolence is a powerful and just weapon. Indeed, it is a weapon unique in history, which cuts without wounding and ennobles a man who wills it.
And this would be his final Sunday sermon at Washington National Cathedral 4 days before his death.
However dark it is, however deep the angry feelings are and the violent explosions are, I can still sing, "We shall overcome. We shall overcome," because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Dr. King, in his own words, as we honor him tonight. Thanks for watching. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. Have a great night.